We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Good Monday morning. Glad you're with us. Hope you and yours are safe and well. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, we say that every morning. Good morning, and hope everyone's well. And after the weekend that the country went through, it's something that we need to say very clearly and very plainly, that we literally hope everyone is well. Because we are in a place right now where it doesn't feel like a lot is well in this country, and we feel like we're just sort of teetering on the edge, and I want us all to take a big collective breath and pull back from the edge and sort of delve into what's been going on.
No, listen, it's not a good morning. I mean, it's the bottom line. It's been a horrible year, yeah. You know, and it's just now been magnified by yet another situation that has been, you know, with the coronavirus and the pandemic, that's something new, right? This is something, I know we've had other viruses, but something new to us here and what's going on.
Never to this level in our lifetime.
To economy shutting down. But what else is going on is something that is not new. That is something that has been going on for a long, long, long time. And for a lot of people, it's still an uncomfortable thing for them to talk about, but it has to be talked about. It has to be talked about. It has to be, as we're going to talk about, protested as well, which it is, which that's a whole other situation to talk about there. But it is a situation that has been going on for too long. It's not going to end today. We know that. There's going to be no end. There's going to be no answer today, but there's going to be a hell of a lot of discussion, and there should be a hell of a lot of discussion with this going forward into what can be done.
You hope it's not the end of what should start happening today, though, because I'm with you. This isn't a new issue. Like, we have been talking about unarmed black people being killed by the police for a while now, and that has been something that the African American community has been trying to loudly draw, attention to.
Correct.
For a while now. It became impossible to ignore this time.
Yeah.
And I forget, and I know we're going to hear from Myra Metcalf in a second, who is fantastic talking about this weekend and explaining his perspective on it. But from an outside perspective, we have seen, as these issues have come up, it's been easy for people to try and see the other side on a lot of these things, or try and say, well, what about this? It could have been this in a lot of these situations. We saw 9 minutes of a dude getting his neck kneeled on until he died. That is impossible to ignore the reality of that situation. And so it's led to this, where it has finally been really grabbing this nation by the collar and saying, this is what we've been trying to tell you about. Black people have been trying to tell us about. What are you going to do about it now? And I don't know if it's people opening their eyes to it this time, not being able to hit it with whataboutism, but it's real, and it's here to stay, and it could be a starting point if you let it. Like, it could be a starting point for finally addressing the issues that are at the root of all this.
And look, I spent a large portion of yesterday trying to figure out what to say, you know, one thing I did yesterday is I reached out to a lot of friends of mine of color and just said, I love you guys, and that I don't know what to say. I just want to listen to what you guys have to say. And I got a lot of really interesting texts and phone calls and feedback back. And I understand that we are sitting here as three white guys talking about this. And I think the most important thing we can do is listen to what other people are saying and make sure that it's validated, and make sure that we understand that we hear you and we know what you are saying, and we are willing to stand with you and say, this is not acceptable anymore. And we have to be willing to stand with our friends and coworkers and people of color and understand we recognize you, we value you, we see you, and we understand why you feel the way you feel.
Yeah, listen, as I said, we don't have the answers to this. but we can listen. And I'm sure there's going to be people say, why are you three white guys talking about this? You have no idea. You're right.
You're right.
We have no idea. None. But that doesn't mean we can't lend a voice, lend certainly at the very least an ear to listen to what's been going on. Something that we should be doing all the time is listening. God knows where we could be if there was more listening and working together in this world. But I how can you not, as we sit from 30,000 feet away, understand, at least look at it and say, man, I understand the frustration and the anger from minorities to say, again, so here's, they can just, I mean, that's the one thing when I hear the talks that people talk about, just listing off the people that have been, you know, unjustly killed. It's just like, there's one example of another. So yeah, we're three white guys that don't have the answers, but yeah, you know, we can listen and we can have a voice, just like everybody can have a voice. As I said, it's not solved today, but as we've heard many African Americans speak and talk, you can, in the peaceful protest part, you can help solve this at local elections, at national elections, at different ways where you can collectively have a voice to help try and make a change. But I certainly can understand the anger now.
Oh, I can't imagine what it's like to be pushed to a point where what the response that we've seen this weekend is what you feel like is the only option you've got left. Because that's what this is, right? Like, you know, everyone see the quote by now, right now, riots are the language of the unheard. You don't condone. A lot of what's gone on has been co-opted by third parties and turned
exactly
into something
right.
That
yes.
It's not.
Correct.
But for
yes.
People, and we listen, it's not the first time we've seen riots over race-related issues and instances of violence against African-Americans by police. It is the riots are the language of unheard. Like, at some point, you've got no other options when you push people and you won't listen to the peaceful protests that come along the way. You won't listen to the voices like Colin Kaepernick that tried to tell you what's going on in a way that you didn't deem palatable. And so at some point, again, people are going to look up at you and say, Trey, just what you said there, like, we've all got people of color. We've all got black people in our lives yeah. that we love and cherish for all these other reasons. And I always said this about my teammates. If I had, you know, black teammates that I loved, that I thought were these fantastic people in so many other ways in life, and they all kept coming and telling me, hey, this is going on. We believe that we are being unfairly targeted by law enforcement in all these times. Why would they choose this one instance to lie to me?
Yeah.
Like, why in all these other ways would I value and love this person, but then in this way go, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I necessarily believe you here. Yeah. And so now it's, how do you take that? Like, loving someone is a verb. You got to do something.
Yeah.
And so it's great that we're all having this conversation and listening now. I hope it's there in 2 weeks.
Right. And speaking of listening, again, let's listen to someone else who has lived a different life than us. And that is our coworker, Myron Metcalf, who's going to join us in just about an hour. This was him on Sunday morning trying to sort of digest what happened over the weekend with all the protests because of the death and the murder of George Floyd. And this is what he had to say.
That was not a police officer making a split second decision, firing a weapon, and then us having a conversation about whether or not that was justified. This was 9 minutes, an opportunity to make a different decision, an opportunity to make a better choice, an opportunity to tell America that the life of this African American matters. And when you see that video, Matt, it's impossible to think that you matter in this country. It's impossible to think that you have value in this country when someone can sit on you for that long. If we pause for 9 seconds right now in the middle of this show, people go, oh my goodness, how awkward is that? There's silence. People would call us and go, hey guys, it's silent on the radio right now. What happened? Now imagine 9 minutes. And when you see that, it's impossible to go, okay, people respect me in this country. I'm valued. Instead, you feel like, man, the same stuff that my grandfather was fighting for in Mississippi growing up as a sharecropper, the same thing my father was fighting for as one of the few African-American men on the University of Wisconsin campus. I'm dealing with the same stuff.
Listen, we're outraged at what we saw, and minorities are saying, yeah, well, you should have been outraged this other time and this other time and this other time and this other time. So now you're outraged, yeah, because everybody could see, you know, this murder, you know, go on the street by this, I don't even call him an ex-cop anymore, this despicable, horrific person just kneeling on somebody's neck for 9 minutes. So, yeah, it can't be ignored. And I'm sure there are tons of people out there saying you guys are a sports show, stick to sports. Well, this intersects with sports.
Sports is all over this.
It just does. And we'll get to actual sports as well, but also the intersection of what went on in the real world and sports as well.
Athletes are people first.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
We're all people first. Like, I'm sorry. Like, bump that. We all lived, like, we all saw what happened this weekend. If you can sit up and wake up and ignore that this morning, God help you, because I'd hate to see what else you're capable of ignoring.
And we'll have much more on this throughout the show. Again, as we said, Myron Metcalf will join us a little bit later. Chinua Igwumike will join us as well. But coming up next, we'll get to a counter proposal for the one sport still trying to work out the money part of the pandemic virus. And hopefully they'll understand how ridiculous that sounds. We'll get to that after this.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. Even though live sports are on hold, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best networks. Same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games you know you're going to lose. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We're back after this on Golic and Wingo.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
With us, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speakers everywhere. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. On what has been a very difficult weekend, and hopefully we'll get somewhat back to figuring things out this week. But speaking of figuring things out, baseball is still trying to get there. It looks like we're close with the NBA with what they're going to have going forward. But there have been points and counterpoints basically put together in the Major League Baseball thing about money right now.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So right in the same weekend that we get a report and I hear Woj and Ramona Shelburne saying that basically the NBA Board of Governors is saying, we're going to vote through whatever Adam Silver
and
the union bring to us here. It sounds like it'll be between 20 and 22 teams there. And so you've got that side saying, yeah, we're good with whatever you want. We're ready to get back to it. And then you've got Major League Baseball in the background where now the MLBPA has sent basically their, whether you want to call it a response or just their plan to the owners now, saying this is what we're looking for, this is what we're proposing.
Remember, the biggest difference here is, well, there's a couple. NBA is going to the playoffs. Baseball is trying to start a season,
which is huge for the finances.
It is big.
It's huge
from the financial side. Remember as well, when we had Gary Bettman on, the NHL commissioner, he said money is an issue. Everything's already been agreed to. We have a revenue split. Basketball is a revenue split. Baseball doesn't have a revenue split. Yeah. So there's a big difference there. So remember, baseball came in with 82 game regular season schedule and going well below the prorated system of pay to the players. The less you made, the less you got taken away after it was prorated. The more you made, the more you lost. So in baseball, you knew the union was going to knock that out. So the union came back with a 114 game counter proposal with the season starting at the end of June and ending October 31st. Players would also get $100 million in advance pay during the new spring training 2.0. And players who were at high risk didn't have to play this year, but would still get paid. And so that was some of the bottom line. It almost doesn't matter unless you want to call it a starting point because it's going to get turned down.
I was about to say it doesn't feel like baseball said, here's our offer. And they discussed it and players said, here's our counteroffer. It's like they've just had two different things. Here, you take this.
This is our proposal right. instead of are they basing it off of each other?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's, as we said, it was almost going to be a non-starter, and right. maybe it quite literally was for the players.
Yeah, and here's Jeff Passan, our senior MLB insider, on SportsCenter last night basically saying what the owners are going to do with this proposal.
MLB is going to reject this proposal. Right. It's just an inevitability, like it was inevitable that the players rejected MLB's proposal on Tuesday that included the pretty drastic pay cuts for players up and down. But the issue is going to be on the owner side. Now, there is a group of owners. It's a small group at this point, but there's a group that has been fairly vocal about there not being a 2020 season and what the benefits would be to that. And the question is this proposal going to give them more ammunition perhaps going forward and being able to bring some others onto their side? Or are they going to see this from the players as an olive branch saying, hey, let's find somewhere to meet in the middle?
And that's what we're going to find out, right? Because each has sent a proposal that the other basically scoffed at and said, no shot, this is getting through. Okay, now where do you go? What now? What's the next step that's taken?
And what are going to end up being the things that both sides feel like they need? Because you know this is full of a bunch of stuff that they want. Like even the players, there's also parts of this proposal that include expanded playoffs for 2 years.
Right.
Going from 10 to 14 teams.
The owners wanted one, right?
Yeah. The owners wanted one. Additional commitment to players wearing microphones on the fields and other broadcast enhancements in this. Things about the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, which... You know, those things are nice throwing them in there right now, trying to get everything you can, but what's it going to end up boiling down to? And you'd have to imagine this is going to, you'd have to imagine this is going to be a large portion of the fight. The players want the right to be able to potentially opt out of the season because of virus concerns, that deferral of salary. You mentioned high risk players being able to still receive their salary, but if others are uncomfortable, they still want that credited service time that we talked about way at the beginning of all this. So those are the things that I have to imagine are going to be at the heart of all this, which is if the players out there risking what they are risking, their health and safety, don't feel comfortable, do they have a way out? Kind of like we talked about in college, where if you don't feel comfortable coming back, your scholarship is still preserved
because
we don't want to make someone choose between their opportunity and their health.
You know, the other thing I want to hear, I want to, you know, Jeff Passan talking about the small but vocal owners that are thinking about shutting down and not playing at all. What are you doing? What are you thinking about if that's your situation? Is the nuclear option on either side really anything that anyone should be considering?
I think that, like anything else, is part of the play. It's just part of, hey.
It better be.
Well, it's just kind of like, hey, you know, we could shut this thing down and lose less money than we would if we played the season. So basically, keep pushing us. You know, push me again. Watch what I do. You know, I don't see that obviously happening at all. But to me, and now it's the next one. It's the next. Is it back in baseballs? You know, okay, you gave your proposal. The union gave theirs. What's next? What are you giving? You know, so what are we going to see next out of, cause that's what it is, right? You're waiting for, just as we heard at the end of Jeff Passan's, soundbite there. Will the owners see this as the players giving a little bit of an olive branch that they're negotiating here? So what do we come back with next? Because we know both those, it's not going to be near that. So what's now next? Because if you're talking about starting at the end of June, you better damn well get this deal done in the next week, right? Because you only need there. That would still just leave you just a few weeks of training camp 2.0.
Yeah, I mean that's what Jeff Passan has said all along. I mean, if this is going to get done, it needs to get done in the first few days of June. Otherwise, we are looking at a really, really sliding timescale that we're not sure is acceptable for anybody at this point.
Yep. Is it going to get done now? And is it going to be done with this season as the most important thing? Because the one thing we keep hearing about in all of this is that idea of what's coming up after 2021 when that CBA ends, when the negotiations for that are supposed to start, and how all of that looming off in the distance is kind of influencing the way people think about what's happening right now in a way that is definitely not going to be something the public gets down with.
Correct. That's the tricky part about baseball. It's not just about this summer. It's about what happens next after the summer into the 2021 season. Coming up next, we've heard from a lot of people over this weekend about the things that are happening in this country. But there is someone who says we need to hear from more people and a specific group of people and specific voices inside that group. And we'll get to that
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, smart speakers as well. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Hope you are rising and looking forward to a new day this Monday and a new way forward, as we just had just a horrific weekend on so many levels because of so many horrific things that have happened and people just had enough. You know, they just had enough. And all of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We heard a little bit of sound there in the rejoin there from LaBelle Moton. He's the head basketball coach at North Carolina Central University. And he made a really interesting, cognizant, important point about who we're hearing from, but even more specifically, and maybe more importantly, who he hasn't heard from in all of this. And I think you need to listen to what he had to say in totality yesterday morning to understand exactly what he's getting at.
Come across the timelines of coaches, everyone is silent. And I have a major issue with that. And for years, I've never really said anything, but now I think enough is enough, because here's the harsh reality. We have coaches in Power Five, football and basketball coaches. The reality is a lot of these coaches have been able to create generational wealth. I mean, their grandkids' kids are going to be able to live a prosperous life because athletes who were the complexion of George Floyd was able to run a football, throw a football, shoot a basketball, or whatever have you. So they have benefited greatly from athletes that look like George Floyd and many more. But whenever people, the complexion of George Floyd, is killed, assassinated, murdered in the street in broad daylight, they're silent. And I have a problem with that, because it seems as if black lives matter to them whenever they can benefit from it, right? Whenever they're getting them a first down, or, you know, catching a alley-oop or shooting a three or whatever. But when it's time for the humanity to speak up on behalf of those student-athletes, It's silence. It's cricket. And so my problem is, if the murdering of black Americans is too risky of an issue for you to stand up as a leader, then who are they really playing for?
You know, it's interesting. He also went on to say that one of the things he does sometimes during the week with his team in coaching them is he brings four chairs onto the floor of the basketball court and coaches his kids, his African-American players on his team, how to deal with being pulled over by the police and what you should do and what you should not do. And twice say, with your hands on the wheel, may I please show you my license? May I reach in? He said he even wanted the kids to reach into their pocket. He said he wanted to have their driver's license on the dashboard so they could just take their hands from the wheel to the dashboard so there would be no hesitation, thought process whatsoever, what might be interpreted as something else if you're doing something as pedantic as reaching for your driver's license.
It's ridiculous that we have to do it. And yet
think about that.
And yet it's the reality of the situation that it needs to be done. How many times have you heard fathers, that we've heard stories of fathers, minority fathers telling their kids, if you get pulled over, do this, do this. It sounds absurd because, again, none of us have ever been in that situation or will ever be in that situation. Yet as part of parenting, or in this case coaching, that's something you have to go over. It seems absurd because it will never happen to us, but in this world, you know, unfortunately, it's happening too many times.
I was going to say, that is something that, it is so overwhelmingly sad, but I've heard that so many times from teammates that talk about the getting pulled over for a DWB, driving while black. Like, the bar is get home safely.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. And that's what we look at in all these situations. And we've heard from so many people that are, you know, parents of young, you know, young black kids in this situation, basically saying, this is what we're afraid of. Like, I'm afraid of having to bury a child because of something like this, the way so many others have.
Well, let's keep going with this. Vanderbilt head coach, Derek Mason, he can kind of continues on that story of what he does in these situations.
I mean, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and this is how, you know, I mean, it really hit home for me. My wife said, Derek, I'm looking at you, and I can remember your dad. My stepdad's an ex-military guy, but she said, when I first met you, he always had this lanyard around his neck, and he always had one for you. And he was on you all the time about wearing that lanyard around your neck. And here's why. He always wanted me to keep my driver's license and my registration around my neck. So if I ever got pulled over, okay, man, I would never have to reach, you know, for anything or reach in a glove compartment. And, you know, that's sort of what my conversation was about yesterday, just a little bit. It's like, okay, man, you grow up, you know, in this microcosm of okay, man, do these things and make it home safe. Okay, and that's what I was always told. Do these things and you make it home safe. And, you know, even in doing these things, you know, man, what we saw, you know, with the death of you know, man, George Floyd was the idea, man, that he did things right and he didn't make it home safe. And that's scary. That's scary for a lot of parents. That's scary for, you know, young men in this country. So, man, we got to address these issues and we got to make sure we get it right.
So you hear Derek Mason talk about that. You hear Coach Moten talk about what he does with his players. But what about what Moten said?
Yeah.
The responsibility of white people, right? Power Five coaches who have power who are white. You know, what is, because the responsibility is everywhere, right? We'll never know this situation. Dabo Swinney will never know of this situation. You know, other coaches will never know of this situation. But what is their responsibility as the tops in their field in what they do, and for guys who are coaching, basically the majority of their team that they're coaching are minorities.
Well, and in a lot of cases, what you represent in the state, and listen, Dabo, as being one of the best coaches in college football, is going to get the arrow pointed at him a lot on this, and especially because his young white quarterback in Trevor Lawrence came out with a statement, and one that resonated with a lot of people this weekend, as, all right, Trevor Lawrence is never going to know what these guys experience, but as he said in his statement in this one, I'm going to side with my brothers on the team who go through this. He said, I'm siding with my brothers that deal and continuously deal with things I'll never experience. The injustice is clear, and so is the hate. It can no longer be explained away. If you're still explaining it, check your heart and ask why.
Right.
So for him to come out and say that, and as Bomani Jones pointed out, Dabo Swinney is the highest paid employee in that state. And so people are looking at him, and he's a guy that's been a leader and been outspoken on so many other issues. It's a reason people are going to look to him and other big time Power Five coaches and say, all right, like, you have as much exposure to young black men who are dealing with this stuff as anyone. Like, exposure is not an excuse that, you know, that some other people can fall back on. These guys can't. And so this should matter a lot to you.
Yeah. Some of the other things Trevor said, there has to be a shift in the way of thinking. Rational must outweigh irrational. Justice must outweigh injustice. Love must outweigh hate. If you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you don't like how it feels, that's when you know things need to change. And you're right. Seeing those comments from a junior in college, who is the quarterback and in many ways the face of Clemson football, and not hearing anything from above is a little startling.
No, it is. And again, not looking for people like that to have the answers. We're not going to have the answers, but to come out with something.
We heard from Nick Saban.
Yeah, we have.
And I can say, and you know what? It's not like a I don't know if it's a measuring contest, but it is. We have heard enough over the weekend. like silence is complicit. Like people are looking around right now and seeing, all right, like who is going to speak out with us? Because that is like, and there also shouldn't be a lot of back padding. Like it's cool that Trevor did this, but this is the bare minimum
that we can all do, right?
Yeah. Like no one should break their shoulder patting themselves on the back for coming out and having a stance against them. One of the most obvious racially motivated, you know, instances of an officer killing an unarmed black person. Like there shouldn't be an overwhelming amount of back padding, but it really is the bare minimum that you can do right now in a lot of people's minds.
What can be the role for the, you know, us again as three white radio talk and TV talk show hosts or coaches? We see players getting involved, and we'll get to a Jaylen Brown from the Celtics driving 15 hours to Atlanta for a peaceful protest. We'll hear from him. But Ryan Saunders, the Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, he talked about, okay, as a white male, what's my role in this?
First role is to be vocal and to stand with our black brothers and sisters who need that empathy and show that empathy towards what is happening in our country. George Floyd, I mean, he should still be alive right now, but there's a number of other black males especially that should still be alive right now. And we need to stand with those individuals. And I think being vocal is big, but then taking action. I don't know what the action is yet, but I know that there's good people, not just in Minnesota, but in this country that can take action. We just need to commit to it and stay with it. And, you know, I think a lot of that comes to helping build relationships and using platforms, any type of resources we have to become stronger in those relationships with somebody who, you know, doesn't look like you.
And that, of course, was on the ESPN Daily podcast with Ryan Saunders talking about that. And again, no one has the answers, and I don't know how we get there, but I think we need to have more time to discuss these things and more ways to listen to what other people are saying.
I think one of the other things here is people are looking at this one incident. Like I got a tweet. I get there are bad cops, but let's not forget this whole stinking mess in this case started with one man. You're right. But for the people that are protesting, they're listing off the names of one after another black person who was unjustly killed by that one man, and then that one man, and then that one man. So, Scott, I get it. This one was started because of the one man. But for those protesting, look at some of the signs they're holding, listing the amount of minorities that have been killed by that one man. I mean, and at some point, you just have enough. You just say, this is ridiculous that it's still going on.
And it wasn't that one man in that situation.
Right.
I think four cops.
Right. But he means the one guy who's going to be charged for the
And that was one guy who had a number of instances leading up to this that maybe should have told somebody something. And that was one guy we saw because someone happened to be filming with their phone right now. And that was the one that led to someone dying. That's not just someone being unjustly harassed. That's not someone being roughed up outside of their car because they are driving around at the wrong time or with someone else deemed the wrong place. Like it making it down to one thing. Now focusing on the specific issue, which again in all this, because a lot of people have pointed out, man, in, you know, institutional racism, it's this horrible thing, but then it's easy to throw your hands up and say, well, it's such a complicated problem. We don't know what to do to solve it. People are telling you, no, in this instance, reminder, this specific issue and the specific issue going back all the way to Colin Kaepernick and what he was kneeling for was the idea of police brutality as it relates to black people and brown people in this country. And so don't lose sight of that in all of this, is that, yes, it's okay. It's appropriate to look at this specific issue and start by, all right, if we're being told over and over again this is a problem, we can't fix systemic racism overnight. And we've talked about that in relationship to the Rooney Rule and hiring practices that go outside of the world of sport. But you can look at this specific issue and say, all right, what are some concrete steps that we can start to take? Because that's been one of the things looking at it around this time. What's been different is I have seen people offering something in the way of, hey, here are some places you can go for information on all of this. Here are some funds that are going to go towards people that are trying to make a difference in these areas specifically right now. The Minnesota Freedom Fund is a community-based nonprofit that pays for criminal bail and immigration bonds, something that they believe unjustly affects and disproportionately affects the minority communities. Reclaim the Block is a coalition for advocates that invest in community-led safety initiatives in Minnesota neighborhoods. This is locally in Minnesota where all of this started in this case, that are just at Campaign Zero, an online platform, an organization that utilizes research-based policy solutions to end police brutality. These are places and information that are being put online where if you're serious, because don't make this performance art either.
Yeah.
Don't let it be, oh, I feel so bad about all this stuff. This is terrible while everyone's looking and can see me. And then in a few days, we all go back to business as usual. You can find, and people are giving you information on ways that you can help other people who know what they're doing, who can learn more about this. So take the time and opportunity. I hope you had some uncomfortable conversations this weekend. Now start to look. And when you ask that question for information, follow up on it. Yeah. Find one that really speaks to you and say, you know what? Let me learn more about this and see what I can do to help out. And that's in the immediacy. That's before, as I've heard a number of people say that are way smarter than me, you start taking this to the polls. You start taking this to right. your local elections and affecting your sphere in ways that are going to help with those policies. So there are actionable portions of this that are starting to present themselves. Take the opportunity to learn about some of those.
Yeah, it's not just a reaction to what we're seeing, but what steps are we willing to take going forward, right? And the weird sports sometimes has been a unifying force in all of this, because we talked about it, and Bill Curry talked about the huddle, and
right.
you're in that huddle
right.
together, and you guys have been in that locker room together. There are things that are said in there and hashed out in those situations where you can just lay everything out and people can have an honest discussion about it, and then you see actionable force coming from that. And that's sort of missing right now, because not much is going on, and that usually is a very good opportunity, because as you said, Junior, when you go to that locker room, you have people from all different kinds of backgrounds that you have to find a way to get along with and deal with and listen to the bleep they've had to deal with their entire lives, and that's missing in so many places right now.
Well, and in this particular, like, so what happened, because you're right, like, it's a very easy place to have some uncomfortable conversations
right.
if you're willing. And that's what we saw. Colin Kaepernick's protest forced a lot of NFL teams to have those internal discussions, right? We heard about a lot of teams having to come together and have those discussions before they decided what as a team they were going to do to support this protest. And that form of protest and what Colin did was uncomfortable for a lot of people, but man, it held your attention, and man, it made you think about it. Everything that's gone on, from the protests to the riots, are uncomfortable for a lot of people, and we certainly don't want to see places destroyed and all that violence. But at some point, some people feel like they've had no other option, and it is forcing you to listen and hopefully have some of those same uncomfortable conversations outside of that locker room setting, in real life right now, and maybe, just maybe, see some of that same growth that you would hope to see in those spots.
I wonder if anybody, going all the way back to the Colin Kaepernick situation that we certainly talked about and dealt with, if those that were just so against him, you know, wanted him, you know, dude, listen, the dude's been blackballed from the league, we know that. If you were so incensed by that, if at all any part of you understands now of the peaceful protest, that it wasn't against the flag, it wasn't against the military, it was for this.
Yeah.
For this that happened. This is what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do. And you may not like all the ways he went about it, or the things he wore with the socks and all that. I understand. But his overall protest was this. Nothing more. And even Nate Boyer, who was in the military, was trying to tell you that as well. I just wonder if it's changed anybody, because for a while, the message got lost because everybody was so mad at him. And are people going to start to say that about this situation because of the violence and the looting and the destruction that's going on? Is the message of George Floyd and the things that have happened to people before that, is it going to get lost? Because I have people tweeting, are you going to condemn the rioting that's out there? If you're not, then you're complicit by being silent. Listen, I don't want to see buildings get burned and
Nobody
stuff like
does.
That. And also, now you're getting into a whole different faction of different people coming in. It's
yeah. It's, but it is not, it is the people that are protesting and the people that are truly upset are not right now largely the same people that are causing all that violence after dark.
They are not. But for those that are protesting the death of minority, that are, you know, doing some damage out there, okay, do I like that? No, but I'm also not in their situation. I haven't had it up to here with something so much that there's that venting and outlet. Do I like it? No. Do I wish it wouldn't happen? Yes. And now with these other factions in here, these people not even associated with this who take the opportunity to come in and piggyback on it and damage things, you know, and hurt people and loot and destroy. That, listen, we all condemn that. But as far as the people that have been wronged here, the race that has been wronged to show some violent acts, I wish they wouldn't do it, but I'm in no position to point my finger correct at them and say, you have been wronged for so long, but hey, don't do that.
Yeah. Tell someone else how to deal with pain that I can't imagine. Yeah,
correct.
But that's the goalpost moving that goes on. That's what happened with Kaepernick, with Colin Kaepernick, where you can try and make it about something else, but we shouldn't let them. Like in this situation, just because it's not palatable to you from your place of privilege to say, don't make me uncomfortable with the way you choose to go about it, that's the part of this that we got to kind of rebuke.
What's always hard in this situation is two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And some people always want to choose, it can only be one of those things. Two things can be true here. There is no more excuses for senseless deaths like that, and there's really no reason for people to do the looting part either. Those things can both be true. That doesn't make it wrong. We'll have lots more on this throughout the morning, plus some very important voices you need to hear on this. Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning.